Jesus, as my Savior, you've taken to a lonely island. Jesus, as my Savior, you've taken to. I took Jesus as my Savior, you've taken to. Look away beyond the blue. Do Lord, oh, do remember me, oh, Lord. Do Lord, oh, do remember me. Do Lord, oh, do remember me. Look away beyond the blue.
Can't wear the crown till you first bear the cross, oh, Lord. He can't wear the crown till you first bear the cross.
He can't wear the crown till you first bear the cross. Look away.
Listen to my heart song. Listen to my heart song. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. Listen to my heart song. Listen to my heart song. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. Listen to my heart song. Listen to my heart song. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. Listen to my heart song. Listen to my heart song. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. Listen to my heart song. Listen to my heart song. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee.
I will sing thy name, I will drink thy name, and get old drunk, oh, with thy name. I will sing thy name, I will drink thy name, and get old drunk, oh, with thy name. I will sing thy name, I will drink thy name, and get old drunk, oh, with thy name. I will sing thy name, I will drink thy name, I will get all drunk, oh, with thy name. I will sing thy name, I will drink thy name, and get all drunk, oh, with thy name. Master's voice I hear.
Temple, who is in my temple? It's love. love that makes the world go round. It's love, it's love, it's love that makes the world go round. It's love, 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 love. It's joy, it's joy, it's joy that makes the world go round. It's joy, it's joy, it's joy that makes the world go round. It's joy, 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 joy.
Ha ha ha! I'd like for everybody to sing this with me. It's not meant to be a solo. I would like for everybody to learn it while I'm singing.
Oh, Father,
thank you.
That will apply. Play the chart. Yes. Last time I saw my chart was in the, supposed to be in the herb shop, but I haven't seen it since then. I have to check it out. There may be one upstairs. It's in the office, right at the side, against the wall. Get it. June. I have one that is already framed out. Supposed to be in a herb shop. You're looking at the chart that is the condensation of all that you're learning. Condensed into a chart form. And your progress in every level. Number one, point or something. This is the head of the human being. It represents the thinking sphere of man. There are three parts in the brain that are very important. It represents the whole physical impact of the spiritual life. The pineal area, pituitary, medulla, or thalamus. But before we can use any one of these forces in a spiritual way, we must know our basic self. Many of us want to get to God, but very few of us ever get there. The journey is long, narrow, very, very rough, because each one of us is the result of karma. We have great intentions, but do we have great endurance? Many women start off before men, and men start off after, and many men catch up past the women and go on. It's one of those laws of endurance. And if you can prove endurance when you start out with the basic simple things given to you in your environment, you're not going to make it. Because that's the very first thing that consciousness is testing you. Even with a living master, he can't use people who don't have endurance. spiritual master is God. And he is eternal endurance. Who cannot endure God? You realize what we're in? God is infinite endurance. There is no backing up for him. So when we start out, though we have tremendous mental images about ourselves, they're all images, but not the true image. Because God's image of himself is total commitment, total endurance. And in our basic self, we have to learn about our basic self. And that's what we're trying to discover. What is our basic self? In Hindu writings, when we use Sanskrit, they have not laid out any basic structure or chart. They have given how they see this inner principle. Even in the West, we don't have a structured chart for the basic self. But the initiates have had, at all times, carried a structured chart. Master Jesus has often said, what he was teaching was written. It had to be written down someplace. It is written that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Our sole purpose here is to return back to that divine light through direct process. But if we don't know how to do it, we're going to find ourselves floundering all over the place. Living masters come primarily to coax us to go back to that light. They take on the responsibility of trying to help us with the karma. They don't take the karma. They only assume the responsibility of adjusting it for you. That is to say, for instance, you want a loan from the bank. And you don't have a credit at the bank. All they will do is sponsor you, but you pay for that loan. Somebody can sponsor you as a co-signer, and you pay for the loan. But because he's a co-signer, he can look into your ability to pay it. And how is your ability? If you're only making a small money, and according to the way the bank wants their money back, you may not be able to pay it that way. But a co-signer can, by his tremendous resources in the bank, he can say, well, let's cut this thing down in half. Or let's say, I sign over the thing to me, and I now dole it out to you a little at a time that you can take it the way it should be taken. He's going to give you a castor oil instead of one big tablespoon now in drops, or in teaspoons, or half teaspoon size. But you're going to take a castor oil. So no karma is being shifted to anybody. We're just adjusting the load. It's like carrying a knapsack on your back. It's hanging down here and the load is heavy to pull, walk with it. You can't bear it because we don't seem to generate the endurance to bear it or carry it. It's strung on us by our own wrong hanging the knapsack on. But he comes along and says, okay, I'll just pull it up a little more and shift it around so it doesn't cut in on the shoulders and feels good. Oh boy, Master sure did something good for me. He took away my karma. Hui. He didn't take anything. He just adjusted the pressure on your mechanism. But if you know what the mechanism is, then you don't make masters or human beings the agent of the adjustment. You realize that God is the only true master, and the adjustment is within yourself, your basic self, the way it is structured out. It's in your own structure that you make the adjustment. And then you get the tremendous sigh of relief. Because then you begin to see Master now as an example of how he carried his own load. And Jesus carried his own cross too, you know. Another man came along to help him, but still he had to carry the load. The basic self is structured out first with resentments. It's interesting that anybody says something to you, you either accept or you reject. And 9 times out of 10, the very first reaction is a resentment. Because we don't know why we resent something being said to us. Now, resentment is not something bad. It's a structured function of our mechanism. It's part of our basic structure that we vibrate energy into it. But you notice there's a cross line, a top cross line from the throat where the will center is. The pineal is the God center that is hooked right up to the whole cosmic creation. The medulla is the center where all the energy is feeding the body directly. The pineal is the Christ center. So we have the God center, which is the pineal. The Holy Spirit is the medulla. The Christ center is the pituitary. Now, the pituitary is the Christ center. The pineal is the God center. And the medulla oblongata is the Holy Spirit. And in the throat, we have the will center. Your free choice. Something to do but can't do. And we say a lot but don't do anything. That's the predicament. And the bar that goes across the throat, the very first bar, is called selfish. The free choice that we have, the very first thing you do with it, you always do it for yourself. You don't even know why you're doing it. Selfishness is already locked up in you, and you're going to be forced to act out selfishness. You're going to be forced to act as a very selfish individual. From the structure. It's part of the structure. You can't cut it out. You cannot cut out selfishness. It's not something you can cut out. It's something you'll be forced to live through until you understand it, that it's part of the structure. Now remember, Jesus didn't say we can get rid of anything. He said, as you sow, that you reap. And unto the Son is given the power to forgive sins. He didn't say get rid of them. He gave us the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who do such and such. Blessed are those who do such and such things. These are attitudes of behavior for the structure. The initiate knows the structure by understanding this makeup, that he has this within himself. There is such a thing as positiveness and negativeness. A positive selfishness and a negative selfishness. A positive self-centeredness or a negative self-centeredness. These two cross lines regulate the will. Your will is going to vibrate and perform regardless if you want to or not, because free choice has to confront polarities, dualities. The Creator made it that way. How else can he keep his creation in check? How else is he going to keep tabs on you? You don't have a single thing to call free will. We have a permissive will, but we don't have real free will. We are permitted to do certain things. For example, the powerhouse in this city sends power like this big sphere of light here coming down. And the contact point to this building that I have to pay electrical power to is where the meter is, and the main switch. That is the main switch in here. There's a transformer out there that transforms down the energy that comes into this building. Now, before they can put in the power to this building, that's the powerhouse, the electrician has to wire the building. And he has to be in agreement with the amount of power I need to draw in. And I require the use of the appliances. We have one 10 or 20 line and 220 line, or whatever line we need. These are predetermined. Therefore, they are predestined already. They are pre-wired. Your body is preset by the structural laws of creation. You can't change that. If you pull out the wiring, you don't have anything. No powerhouse will let you in any power, because we're going to run the power into it. So you don't have a free will yet. This is an assumption that we have a free will. We don't have a free will. All right? Power comes into you in the form of life. Everything has to be wired and set up in this building. By the way, all the switches and everything, the inlets and the outlets. Now comes the situation. There is one main switch that regulates this entire house, and that's where the fuse box is, allowing the power to stay circulating inside. And that one main switch in us is the medulla of Lamgata. We dare not tamper with it, or we blow out the whole circuitry. The power comes down through the various circuits, the various setups, all preset in us, in the form of selfishness, centeredness, fear, pride, intolerance, criticism, hypocrisy, all these things, either to break down, maintain. This electrical power can kill you, or it can cook your food, or keep you comfortable. Equally true, that life power coming into your brain is set up the same way. Now, the only thing you can do, which you can call free will, if you want to call it, is go play with the switch on the wall. There's nothing else you can do. The main switch, you would automatically spoil all the food in the refrigerator. So God can't trust you. The powerhouse can't trust you if you're going to go in terms of survival now. In terms of survival means how this mechanism is sustained, like the heart, the lungs, the kidney, the gallbladder, and all these things are not in your power to control as an unethical individual. An unethical individual cannot be in control of that power. How to regulate his heart, how to regulate and do all these things, to stop them or start them. Because how is he going to... You wouldn't know if you get a shock and he cuts himself. Do you know what chemical by your conscious brain to send from the mechanism to go and heal it? You say we have free will. All right, let's see how free will you got. Do you see how limited a creature you are? That your free will is just a game to encourage us to have respect for God? All we got is the little switch of turning it off and go to bed and go to sleep. Pick up something mechanically. A shock comes along. You can't even stop your hair from getting gray. With all your conscious will. See? So the free will is not really a free will. It is a permissive will to work with the mechanism. We can't understand the life of a living master until we understand the principles that are made up. It's like any science. You first got to get your BA, you got to get your MA, then you get your PhD. In the science of the soul, you have the same thing. The BA is all the studies that you read about, like your KC writings, all your various metaphysical schools that are around. That is your BA studies, and you should have a groundwork in them. You should have already read that part. Aquarian Age Gospel and so forth. All those books you should have been start reading. Cosmic Consciousness by book. Then your MA studies is the life of Jesus and the realized masters who have passed on. When you know that thoroughly, then you're ready for your PhD studies. That's contact with a living master. Because he got no time to play around no more. He hope you got your lessons all learned. Then you come to him. So those who are ready gets the most. Those who don't ready, they get what they get. How can a child expect the professor or the dean of a university to teach him calculus if he's only studying arithmetic? Do you see the ridiculousness of searching for a saying, I got a guru, you got a guru, my guru is better than your guru, I'm looking for a living master. The whole thing is a step-by-step process. If it was not like that, we'd all be flocking at the feet of Jesus a long time ago. Or all the living masters, if you can find them, and say, here, take me. What are you going to tell you? I'll take you where? But if you understand what you are doing, it's like those who go to Pentecostal prayer meeting. They join in the movement and they start getting into reverie and rapture and they start talking in tongues. And when you translate it, they're all saying, praise be to the Lord, praise be to the Lord, praise be to the Lord, in all type of languages. All right. So I said to them one day, did you learn anything from that after going through that experience? Oh, I spoke in tongues. It's like, good. You understand what he said? No. You feel good? Yes. I said, aren't you frustrated? Yes. But you still feel good? Yes. I said, so what good is the science? What good is this big exposure now? One minister who was a Pentecostal minister said to a friend of mine, I have been given the gift of tongues. I rather trade it for the gift of understanding. Yes. This is a minister who has been in the Pentecostal movement for most of his life. He's an older man now, in his 80s. He's ready to give up. And he said not too long ago, I rather trade my gift of tongues for the gift of understanding. It's a big difference between the gifts, what they are, and what you really know about it. Solomon asked for understanding and wisdom, and that's why he knew what he was doing. Equally true in the life of the initiate, I'm not trying to make you into something else that I am not trying to be. I want understanding more than anything else about this science. God is around me all the time. But if I don't understand him, what good is it to me? I'll come back again and again, still looking for him as a word. Thanks be to thee, Father. Where are you? What are you? I want to understand. And if I want to understand, I must look for the understanding, how I function inside. So between the East and Western approach, it is only by working out their methods and going back to the true initiate process, we find out that true initiation is occurring inside also, the unfolding. That's why all the teachers are saying East and West must get together. But get together and do what? Get together and trade with what? Or exchange what? Unfold in what? Understand what? If you don't understand what each one is saying, and each one's got his own particular pull, then we have nothing to talk about. We're saying the same thing over and over. We're trying to get an understanding of something that we can work from inside. Now Jesus says, no man take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down and pick it up. That's a big difference when you're talking in those terms, because we're talking of this particular process. You have to know from inside. the power is coming through this house, and we are permitted to play the switch. But let's say you have a hot plate on, and you're an adult. You know how to operate that hot plate, and you have a 2-year-old child. Are you going to allow that child to go and play around the equipment? Why? He does not understand. It isn't that the equipment is something for him not to touch or not be aware of. More understanding is the fact that you do not want him to touch it. You know there is something about that equipment that is not practical for that child to touch at his level of understanding. So equally true, all the yoga writings are like different levels for different people until you get into initiate life. Then you will get more adult now. You're going to mature now. It's what you call aging up of the consciousness. All right, the basic self may appear to be a very, very negative structure. That is because it has restlessness or resentment in it. It has criticism in it. It has pride. It has intolerance, fear, dishonesty, hypocrisy, self-pity, guilt, flattery, jealousness, possessiveness, worry. And if you worry, that's going to kill you sooner or later. So it's got to have all these things in your basic self. That's why. Now, our basic self is what you call the animal self. Animal. Mal is bad in French. And the I is that lower I that has its tendency of tearing itself down or degenerating itself. And I am an animal in my lower nature if I tear down myself, if I allow these tendencies to tear me down. That is the detrimental effect of the lower self. That's why it's called animal. It is not lifting me up. It's getting like a beast in the field. But this is part of how we structured out already. Like that switch. We can't pull out the wiring and take this air conditioner when it was given to us. We still had to get this power to hook it up, and I know many people had to sit down there and wait in a hot room till it was hooked up to get that power to go to it. And all that is there between the outlet and the switch is the permissive function of the air conditioner. But you turn off the power in the room, everything goes off. Even the food in the refrigerator will start decomposing. So we see God, the divine power, coming down that is controlling our survival nature, directs. It's His will must be done all the time. Every time we violate, we are not carrying out His will, therefore His creation will not remain perfect. And our only violation is disobedience. We don't have no other violation. It is ignorance. Ignorance is the opposite of understanding. So you don't have any sin as damnation. You have what is called the reaction to understanding in the form of ignorance by ignoring yourself. And once you ignore yourself, then you don't know how to respond to it, and you can't function with it. Then you sooner or later use rabbit foot existences. Give me this, give me that, get somebody to take my problems, look for a crutch, and so on and forth. And then Jesus come along, hit you on the head and says, he that doeth the will of the Lord is my brother and my sister. see that the follower in my word is my disciple, and then all of a sudden, you're no longer my disciple. Stand up on your 2 feet. Every foot stands his own 2 legs. Get up and be a man or a woman. Start realizing yourself, understanding yourself. You're forced to recognize it. The initiate is the individual that is forced to stand up on his 2 feet and recognize the master consciousness working within him, structured out by divine law. Not by any form of coercion. God doesn't force us. It's the only thing he cannot do to get him back, get us back to him. We can only go back to him by his natural laws, which we have broken or didn't fulfill. We are given everything, including love. Only one thing we can withhold from him is love. We cannot withhold anything from him. He takes it all back. Even the living masses, he'll take them back, he'll take the dead ones to back to himself. Because it's love. But they don't hold back to their love for God, the creative self. Therefore they exist eternally. We hold back our love for him, therefore we have a temporary existence and then we pass on and come back again. The reason we are reincarnating too, when you look at it in its true aspect, is because you're holding back a little on the love. If you surrender this love totally, you can't hold back. You can't make you reincarnate. He's got to give it to you because he is love. You realize that? Huh? You're holding back the love, right? Once you don't hold back, you are free man, Lord of yourself. That's why he said, love the Lord with all your mind, heart, and soul. Don't hold it back. The basic self is structured out like this whole mechanism, this building. And the survival pattern is God's will. So you may call it predestination. God's will is predestination. It's predetermined before you came into existence. As soon as you come into existence, you have permissive will. Then between the two, you have ignorance. That's the interplay that your daily life is spent in talking and yapping and yapping and yapping and yapping. And then you're not really learning anything because it's wasted in trying to satisfy permissive will against divine will or cosmic will. You're constantly pulling all the negativeness down into the lower self. The higher self is different. The lower self, you will notice, has all the problems in it for degenerating man. Now, the initiate is not trying to make a conscious contact with God. Most people who study God realization are trying to make a conscious contact with God. The initiate is trying to make a conscious contact with God. A vast difference. My contact with God is my conscience, not a conscious contact with it. My conscience inside of me is my contact with him. That's the contact I'm talking about, that the initiate is working through, a conscious contact with God, not a conscious contact with God. A conscious contact with God would be to look outside, close my eyes and dream, wander away in nothing land, try all kind of experiments to get all kind of experiences, really never discovering what the conscience is all about, never finding God, wasting conscience. Now, we have heard the term, you have a guilty what? Conscience. Have you ever heard the term a guilty conscience? Or a guilty consciousness? Do you think when man first tagged the truth about ourselves that he made a mistake? He didn't make no mistake. The very first masters of truth, or men of truth, did not make a mistake when they tagged what is the thing that we're guilty in. It's in conscience that we know God, not in consciousness. Because we transcend consciousness. Conscience is beingness. It's only in your conscience can you really find your beingness. And that's what you have to try to understand, that to be is to be in a state of conscience. If you have a problem, you may twist and turn with it all night trying to find a solution, to make a decision. But you know what will make that decision eventually? What? Your conscience, because that is your deciding factor of evaluation. You have to evaluate that decision on that basis. And when you make that decision and commit yourself to it, then you are acting out the God principle. Otherwise, if we're going to make decisions strictly on consciousness, you'd find that everything you say, you wouldn't act it out. Because we say things that we don't act out, yet they come back pretty fast, beat our own words back. Now you know why you're eating your words back? If I say I'm not going to do this, and all of a sudden you find yourself doing it. This is because you don't understand conscience and consciousness. So the first thing that a spiritual person is learning on the path is to differentiate between consciousness and conscience. His conscience is the key. It's that point of contact with God. The lower self, or the basic self, will allow you to go down in all the lower forces of the consciousness. And those lower forces are like bigotry, arrogance, grief, lust, hate, betrayal, maliciousness, doubt, revengefulness, apathy, violence, and self. Annihilation. And you have the cross currents again in envy, greed, ingratitude, anger, indifference, melancholy, boredom, tension, dogmatic. How many of us are not experiencing this? Good many of us are experiencing all. Because that's part of your basic nature. The moment you start getting on a spiritual path, it's like this house. How many times you light up your bulb and all of a sudden the bulb that you just bought burns out? You paid your 50 cents bulb or your 75 cents bulb or your dollar bulb and they're all burning out. It's like that. Inside you're short-circuiting, going out, burning up very fast. So you have a breakdown, which is called a pollution process. And it leads eventually through all the boredoms and tensions and aggravations, right away down where you may have to repeat the whole process all over again. It's called reincarnation. And the worst part of it all is self-annihilation. Because in the lower levels of the conscience contact, there is nothing else you would end up doing but destroying yourself. Now, the initiate can tell by the progressional breakdown of an individual's reaction to his environment where he will end up long before he ends up there. And you may think that the initiate is psychic or prophetic. Fui. We don't depend on a prophecy or something to tell a person where he's going to go and end up in that behavior pattern. By observing this movement and training ourselves gradually, if we see too many persistent repetitions of these movements, we can automatically realize, and that we don't wish it either, for it to happen. But you can see the gradual breaking down of that person where he's going. Sooner or later, it comes to suicide. So, it's a very subtle science, because it's already structured out already for how you're going to act. It's like a person playing around, what you're saying is a laboratory, and he's trying to solder some stuff, but he jammed two wires together, and what happens? Blow out the fuse. That's calling suicide too in the house. Knock out the switch. Yet, if you understand what you're doing, you can start the process of going up now, regenerating yourself. And Jesus called Peter and told him, you have been so long with me in the regenerative life, in the mechanics of it, but you understand me not, or you know me not. You don't even know. Being surrounded with it and still don't even know what's going on inside. Because knowing from inside is a very important thing. The process is growing up. When we are children, we are given candy to keep us quiet. That's the sugar-coated churchianity. When we become adults, we are given the contact of our conscience with God. We have to face the Creator now on His own terms. We have to live up to Him by understanding. That's why He has given us infinity. And He has given us immortal life. But we must understand how it must work for Him. By doing His will. And the understanding will come. All the time cycles or the laws of creation are set up. The first function that we are passing through is matter acting on matter. And the second level up in creation, or back to the Creator in fact, because matter acting on matter is hell. This is the last state you're in. Here we are held captives by our own ignorance in a state of matter. We are brought down, right down into this last particular structure of matter. Matter acting on matter. The second level up on our way back home from the source is energy acting on matter. You have to master each level up. That's why they call you a master when you get up here. Because at each level, the examiner is going to ask you the same questions, and if you pass them, you can go on to your next classroom. If you don't pass, then you go back down and study all over again. So when they say that a man is a master, you've got to realize what you're talking about. We're talking of an individual who has mastered these forces in himself. He has spent the time to understand and work it out. He's got to know it. If he doesn't know it, then he's just talking about it. Matter acting on matter. The very first level, because we're in it. Energy acting on matter. It's the second level. Consciousness acting on matter is the third level. There are Sanskrit names for them. They are called names of God too, or levels of God. But they are actually, in literal translation, the levels of creation. Each level of creation carries an intelligent function. When you read a Tiger Fan, he talks about different levels and the different gods in each level, a different intelligence. It literally means that pervading aspect of creativity at that particular plane of existence, which you have to become identified with. So the initiate has got lots of work laid out for him already. And it's a marvelous goal when you got friends going home together, that you're all helping to pull the load together. It's when you're going it by yourself that it's rough. You don't have anyone to go with, then pretty rough then. But you have people going along with you, not so bad. Because then each one can help along, give you a lift. Consciousness acting on matter is the third way up. Then energy acting on energy is what we call the halfway mark. Consciousness acting on energy is the next round up. What? Consciousness acting on energy is the last way that is connected with this earth plane. Because consciousness acting on energy is involved with time, Kal, that's the word meaning time, or Satan, adversary. We live in a time cycle and we're slave to time. Because it's already half past nine and you're wondering when you're going to get up. Then you're worrying when you're going to die, when you're going to be born again. You're worrying when you have to eat. You're worrying where food is going to accept you. You're worrying if the guru will take you up there or not. What time he's going to take you up? What time he's going to take you back to God? Huh? Isn't that what's going on in your mind? How you are a victim to time? That proves you haven't mastered that cycle yet. You haven't gone up to master it. A master don't have such thoughts because he's not gone past that state. He lives in it. The next state is called the Christ consciousness or the timeless state. Consciousness acting on consciousness. Because in consciousness acting on consciousness, there is no time. He's timeless. Before Abraham was. That's a statement of time. I was. Do you understand the statement? Before Abraham was, I was. Before everything was, I was. Everything was is a time point of starting. And before is a time point of timelessness. I was. Before Abraham was I am. Well, I am would be the eternalness of time. As I was with the eternalness of time. He had to be before Abraham in his eternalness of time. The I am-ness would be there in time.
Can we function as we are functioning right now in our present society and have that attitude of I'm not being slave to time?
That's the very first thing you have to master, fatiguelessness.
No, I'm not talking about that, like making appointments, going to work, things like that. You still have to follow the clock.
Well, that's why, all right, render unto on the time cycle what is due to the time cycle. If you live by time, you have to act by time. Years ago, I used to say, I got to be in time, I'm always got to be in time. I'm busy trying to get there in time, and I'm always late. Then one day I said, how come I got to be on time, and they got can't be on time. They are on time and they can't be late too. So from now on they are late. I'm always early. It always turns out that they are late and I'm early too. Huh? Yes, Guru Standard Time. One time I was in Dallas. You know Mr. King, Boyle King?
Yeah.
Right. We're going to see Muktananda. And he was worried about getting to work because he had an appointment for 10 o'clock. And we got up and we're having breakfast and the rain is falling and he's looking at his clock. And I said, Boyle, why are you worrying? The other man is late, you are early. You want to go and see Muktananda? Okay, if you say so. We drove down and it's about already 9:30. His appointment is 9 o'clock, you know. The rain is falling like crazy. gets on the phone, he calls the other guy. The other guy says, look, I was just trying to get you on the phone to tell you cancel because I can't see before 2 o'clock. He says, so many things came up. It was only a waste of time. So Burl comes back and hands the phone up. He says, let's go see Mokenanda. I says, what are you worrying about? Whose time is this all about in the first place? It's not your time or my time, it's the Creator's time. It depends on how you want to work with the Creator. The Creator always going to confuse us. You never see the Creator plant corn in a row, mangoes in a row, oak trees in a row, pine trees in a row. He's got them all scattered up. That's his time, that's his way he plans. That's the way he plans. He is at the most confused, organized times. It's all confused for us, but organized for him. And we are trying to make order out of his confusion and calling it order. Then we get more confused and find ourselves all hung up, strung out in some kind of a problem. And please, Lord, help me. And then he turns around and turns the thing all back in the opposite way. But that's not the way to do it. That's not what we say. That's the realization we come to. It's so comical that we end up saying the same thing to ourselves. But that's not the way to do it. The time cycle is difficult and different for everyone. Consciousness acting on consciousness is when you transcend the time cycle. And you're now entering the Christ state. Thy will be done. There you have all subtle little evidences always popping around you. Some strange things, you call them miracles. They're not miracles. It's because you understand now how God works. Therefore you keep in tune with Him. Then the next level up is beingness acting on consciousness. This is the ascension. And finally, beingness acting on beingness, the liberation. But look at the beautiful, joyous journey long before you even get up there, what is happening on the regenerative scale of your life. In the regenerative scale of your life, you have all the appreciation, the patience that you've got to have from birth to death and back again, the tranquility, the serenity, the joy, the ecstasy, happiness. All these are things all structured out inside for you to experience on the regenerative scale, all the way finally up to resurrection. These are all structured out for you to go. Now, at the top of the line, where the eyes are, we see a straight line running across. Where your heart is, or where your mind is, or the thing that is uppermost in your mind, your heart is going to be there. But for something to be uppermost in your mind, has to be from your vision. So what is your motive? That's the thing that drives you on. The forward movement of man's whole existence is facing yourself. This is your whole driving force between up or down. Up or down is laid out like the hot wire in this room and the cold wire in this room for the electrical power. Pulling the switch on and off to turn it on is the permissive will. Not tampering with the main switch is facing yourself, realizing the responsibility that you can't pull the main switch and spoil the food inside the building. So the initiate is not a person who runs from life, is a person who is facing life and facing himself every second. In fact, he faces himself by constant confrontation with the next breath. His next breath is where he's facing himself all the time. That little ring, that little gadget there, that you call the cogwheel, the main cogwheel or the main spring of your existence is that next breath. That's why it's called the next breath. It's in that main spring you have everything assigned to you. The main spring is hooked up to this complete universal spring. What you have here is 19 and 16 forces. What you have here is 19 and 16 forces. In the lower circle, you have 16 basic elements and trace elements representing your chemical body. In the breath, you have the same thing in miniature form. Above, you have 35 representing your electrical body, 35 elements. In the breath, you have 35 movements. 19. The two together make 35. The electrical and the chemical added together makes 35. So we have a 35-day resistance cycle. Now, masonry only goes up to what degree?
33.
But then they say there are two honorary degrees too.
Yeah.
Right? There are also two honorary degrees. That's conferred on them by the unseen master. That makes up for the 35 degrees of consciousness. You have 33 degrees that you go up physically that they know of, and then they say, well, we are still looking for the lost word.
The lost word.
Yeah, they're looking for the lost word. They'll keep on looking.
What would they keep playing all those games when they get down to meditation?
All right. The last two are conferred on them. And that is where the initiate comes in now. There are 35 functions of recycling ourselves. But it's locked up in the breath. You have to face yourself every time you take that breath. And that is your basic key. Now, you can win this race. And the only time you can win it is now. There's no possible way you're going to win it tomorrow. Anytime you win the race, it's going to happen in the present tense, now. You're going to understand it yourself now. This chart covers many, many lives and forms of principles. You're looking at a very condensed form set up in such a way that you can go progressively up the ladder. You can't learn the whole thing overnight or one night, one session. It's highly impossible because we're involved with too many structures in ourselves. And since I have to process three people tonight, that means I have to recycle people. This is a resistance recycling principle. But apart from that, what is laid out here, if you read it gradually and try to ingest a few of its points more and more as we meet, you will gradually learn more of it. Serfdom or slavery is found in denial. And this is the thing that Judas was guilty of. He became enslaved to his lower forces and ended up denying the Christ principle. And what was the outcome of the movement? Self-annihilation. There is no way that the principle of denial continuing on down into betrayal and into apathy eventually being over dogmatic and becoming self-destructive. The other way to freedom is by grace and understanding. First, the grace. You don't get the understanding first. Don't think you get the understanding first. You get the grace first. You can't understand nothing without grace. So the initiate is always asking for the grace so that the understanding will flow through him. By the grace of God, there go my self, right? So you understand more by the grace. There is where the freedom is. But you know, freed, F-R-E-E and hyphen D hyphen O-M. Om is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is free already. You can't confine it. But it's distributing, therefore the D is there. It's the distributor, like in a car. It's the main dividing line between Christ consciousness and God consciousness in yourself. Jesus said, I go unto the Father, that is the Christ intelligence rising back up to the higher consciousness. But I send you the Holy Comforter. That's what he called it, the Holy Comforter. Or Holy, not Holy Spirit. There's a big difference between the Holy Comforter and the Holy Spirit. God is Spirit, total. He's holy, total. But in his manifested expressions, he is Comforter. That is something that is comforting you in the sound current. The audible life current is the comforting sound because it's music. All the atoms are singing for the first time in your body. If you listen to them, they are singing. It's energy. It's tingling through your body. It's comforting. Can you stand goose pimples through your body 24 hours a day?
Yes.
Do you like it? The feeling when you play music, how it travels up your spine and gives you chili bumps? Yeah? Good. Now imagine it going through your body all the time. It's comforting, it's exhilarating, it's ecstatic. But that is exactly what it is. You can search in all your books, you'll never find it because nobody can tell you it. So don't be in a rush. Read it up and look at it when you, as an initiate, gradually come to your consciousness. The tomorrow meditation is...